This is the Jerry Callahan Show.
Well, how soon we forget. Tomorrow marks 6 months since Hamas savages attacked Israel. If you don't remember, and I wouldn't be surprised, you don't get a lot of reminders of this. Certainly seems like the Biden administration has forgot about this, but Hamas terrorists entered Israel on the ground, in the air, in powered paragliders. They slaughtered innocent civilians in their kibbutzes at a music festival, the Nova Music Festival. They killed 1,139 people that day, mostly civilians, Israelis, Americans, including 36 children, 71 foreigners. They took about 250 civilians hostage, including Americans. Don't hear much about them anymore. I guess it's been a long time. We know, we saw, they videotaped it themselves. They raped women. They shot kids in the face. They burned babies alive. They killed parents in front of children and children in front of parents. And then they took hostages back to Gaza. And God knows what they're doing to those people today. It ain't good. If you don't spend a lot of time thinking about the hostages, I'm not surprised. Our president, Joe Biden, our Secretary of State, Anthony Blinken, they don't spend a lot of time thinking about the hostages. Joe Biden has never said the names. There is about, we believe, 8 Americans among the 100 and something. We don't know how many are still alive. Hostages, 8 Americans. You hear the name Evan Gershkovich all the time, and you should. He's the Wall Street Journal reporter who's in prison in Russia. You certainly heard about, what's her name, the woman's basketball player who was freed after the Biden administration pressured Russia and handed over the merchant of death.
Brittany Griner.
In exchange, wanted to get her home. Good. You hear nothing about the Americans held in Gaza being tortured, raped, abused today as we speak. And as Joe Biden sells out our ally, Israel, and supports the men, the savages, the monsters, the scum that perpetrated the attack that kicked off the war, you have to wonder, does anyone care? Does anyone in this administration care about Americans being held hostage? It certainly doesn't seem that way. Today, tomorrow is 6 months since the attack. Today is 7 months till the election. And I don't have to tell you which is more important, which matters more to Joe Biden and Anthony Blinken and so many people in Washington today. They're more concerned with Dearborn, Michigan and how they vote.
It does not end there.
With Americans being held in Gaza and other innocent civilians being held in Gaza. What happened yesterday, if you weren't paying attention, was disgusting. The president shifted in his stance, in his policy, and demanded an immediate ceasefire, which is exactly what Hamas wanted, which is exactly what the Hamas supporters in this country, the college students marching in support of the savages who murdered 1,200 innocent people, killed babies, the people up on Capitol Hill, congressmen, senators, demanding an immediate ceasefire to spare the lives of Hamas, give them time, give them the opportunity to regroup. Did they demand the immediate release of hostages? Of course not. Did they demand Hamas surrender? Of course not. They barely even mention Hamas. It's all about Israel and how Israel's not being careful enough as it executes this war. I find this to be just offensive when you think about it. You have a president reprimanding, criticizing Israel. This same president ordered a drone strike in Kabul, Afghanistan, after the disastrous withdrawal. He wanted to save face. He wanted to get the guys who killed our 13 service members So we hit a family of 10, including 7 children in Kabul 3 days after the withdrawal. We killed kids. We killed innocent people, civilians. And they never said a word. Joe Biden's never been asked about it. He's never talked about it. No one was demoted. No one was reprimanded or fired. In fact, Mark Milley, that load, stood before the cameras and said, it was a righteous strike. Real badass, a righteous strike. This same government, the same administration, these same people are now saying Israel has to stop because they killed 7 aid workers, these these 7 aid workers accidentally. They apologized. They promised to investigate. They said they would do their best to never happen again. Not enough. Joe Biden says he's infuriated and heartbroken. Was he infuriated and heartbroken when Barack Obama ordered 542 drone strikes, killing 3,800 people during his administration, during the Obama-Biden administration? How about the Iraq War, which he supported? 110,000 civilian deaths. How about the Afghanistan War? 46,000 civilian deaths. Civilians die in war. I thought we used to understand that. Civilians are dying in Gaza, and it's all the fault of one group, Hamas. Every civilian death is the fault of Hamas. Hamas attacked Israel, killed innocent people, and then Hamas used more innocent people, more civilians, to hide behind. They used them as human shields. So when Israel accidentally kills civilians, they apologize and promise to investigate. They fire people. The drone operator reportedly was fired. Others were demoted and reprimanded. When Hamas kills innocent civilians, they celebrate in the street. They give out candy to children. And Joe Biden and Kamala Harris and Liz Warren and Ayanna Pressley say nothing. They talk about this war as if it's Israel against the world. They don't mention Hamas and what Hamas did. They don't mention that Hamas still has hostages and never offers to release them. I love this idea that they're calling for a ceasefire today. You know when there was a ceasefire? October 6th, 6 months ago today, there was a ceasefire in Gaza, in Israel. Hamas broke that ceasefire, and they didn't break the ceasefire by attacking with their military. They broke the ceasefire by killing children, by raping children, by killing whole families, burning families alive. That happened. And 2 days later, 3 days later, Democrats were calling for a ceasefire. They didn't want Israel to retaliate. My God, it is remarkable. We don't do this with other countries. We just do it with Israel for whatever reason. They're the ones who have to be concerned about civilian deaths when they're at war. Not Hamas, not us, you know, not the allies in World War II. Do you know the allies bombed cities and killed civilians, and there was very little, if any, military purpose in World War II. Yeah, the most famous one, of course, is Dresden. I believe it lasted 3 days. Dresden, Germany. 30,000 civilians killed. We had a raid on Hamburg, Germany. 37,000 civilians killed. And then, of course, there's Tokyo. March 10th, 1945. 100,000 dead civilians. That was us, and that was necessary. That's part of war. Civilians die. Most of those countries, their military was not using the civilians as human shields. They weren't putting their military installations in hospitals and schools like Hamas does. They weren't intentionally targeting children. That's what Hamas does. But civilians die. But suddenly, 7 aid workers means we have to abandon our ally and take the side of the savages who are holding Americans hostage. Yes, That's what's going on right here. If you missed it, Joe Biden had a phone call with Benjamin Netanyahu. You know, the guy he wants to undercut, the guy Chuck Schumer says should be thrown out of office in the middle of a war. That guy. He had a phone call with Netanyahu, according to the AP. The two leaders spoke by phone after Israeli airstrikes killed 7 food workers and added a layer of complication to their already strained relationship. And the White House, of course, Joe Biden didn't come out and talk about this. It's kind of a big deal. Any other president would come out and speak to the media, but no, he sends out Kirby and KJP and hides or takes a nap. Quote, he made clear the need for Israel to announce and implement a series of specific, concrete, and measurable steps to address civilian harm, humanitarian suffering, and the safety of aid workers. He made clear the U.S. policy with respect to Gaza will be determined by our assessment of Israel's immediate action on these steps. He changes to the unwavering support of Israel we heard about 6 months ago tomorrow. That's out. That's over. He needs to win Dearborn, Michigan. He needs to placate his kook fringe base, the Cambridge base, the college campus base, the squad. He needs them to get them back in the fold. So we're very sorry, Israel. We're bailing. We're selling you out because Joe Biden needs Michigan, period. That's why this statement was issued. That's why Tony Blinken said Israel risks being indistinguishable from Hamas. Yes, our Secretary of State, that pathetic squish who's leading this disastrous foreign policy all around the world, said Israel risks being indistinguishable from a group of savages who burned babies and raped corpses. Sure, can hardly tell the difference. Right, before we get to this guy, I read this somewhere, and I started reading up on it, and I believe it. In the history of warfare, in other words, in the history of mankind, there's never been an army, there's never been an invading force who has taken more steps, more measures to avoid civilian casualties. Yes, I said it. There's never been a military who's done more to avoid civilian casualties. I love this idea that Israel is committing genocide, which is what you hear from all the kook fringe at every one of these marches and rallies. Stop the genocide. Joe Rogan even said it, which I couldn't believe. But tell me this. We know what genocide is, the deliberate destruction of a race or an ethnicity or a people. Has there ever been a genocide where the genocidal side, where the invading army dropped leaflets, made phone calls? We're talking millions of texts, phone calls, and leaflets warning people to move before they attacked. I don't know. If I was thinking of wiping it out, the Palestinian people as a whole, I don't think I would drop leaflets warning them to get out, telling them how to get out. And by the way, sending in trucks with humanitarian aid, dropping packages from the sky. That doesn't sound very genocidal to me, Joe Rogan, Ayanna Pressley, Liz Warren. These people are lying to you. This is not a genocide. This is a necessary war. The only thing they could do after October 7th was try to eliminate Hamas. You know why? There's been at least 6 ceasefire proposals, and Hamas has rejected them all. Hamas has no interest in a ceasefire. Hell, they have no interest in any two-state solution. They have one objective: eliminate Israel, kill all the Jews. That's what we're talking about. That's the side that the college students, that almost all the Democrats are supporting, are trying to save. The side that has one goal: kill all the Jews, eliminate them all. The only sane Democrat, as we've mentioned today, which is a remarkable development. John Fetterman, he stands strong with Israel in defiance of his own party. That is courage today in the Democrat Party. The guy might not have, total functioning brain, but he's got balls.
Oh, my God, really?
Big steel ones. Do we have him waving the flag? Okay. He's my favorite. When they're protesting outside his office and he comes out with an Israeli flag and waves it in their faces. This is a man with some integrity, with some guts, willing to take on the mob, which none of the other Democrats, God knows Joe Biden. Joe Biden's doing this not because it's right or wrong or he cares about civilians. Again, this is a guy who's never apologized, never addressed the drone strike that killed 10 civilians on his order. He doesn't care. He cares less about civilians in Gaza than he does about Lake and Riley or about Gold Star families or about his youngest granddaughter. He doesn't care. This is an uncaring, callous, political animal who cares about Dearborn and their votes. There's the great John Fetterman waving the Israeli flag to the Hamas-supporting scum protesting outside his office. They're waving the Hamas flags, and he's waving back with the Israeli flags. But I'd like to know, could someone explain to me, when is it genocidal army? Hell, forget genocide. When has any army, any invading force taken such measures? We, again, in World War II, we bombed civilians on purpose. We killed lots of civilians in Afghanistan and even more in Iraq. It happens in war. When has an invading force been this strategic, this cautious? When have they dropped leaflets? When have they made phone calls? When have they set up corridors for civilians to escape? This war has been going on 6 months. It could have ended in a month if Israel didn't care about civilians, as Democrats claim. They could have ended in a month. They could have flattened Gaza. I mean, they've done some real damage, all of which is the fault of Hamas. They blew up tunnels. They bombed, hospitals and schools, which were bases for Hamas. They've killed many, many Hamas terrorists, not enough, and some civilians. But what are they supposed to do? The war could end today if Hamas would surrender, release the hostages. You would think our president would at least, ask. We'll get involved here and we'll say, you release the hostages and then we'll talk. It doesn't even come up. It's just amazing that we have Americans held hostage for 6 months and they're not even a concern. It's all about Hamas. We must save Hamas. We must condemn Israel. It's disgusting what happened yesterday and every day. I hope people remember. I hope they remember how Joe Biden and Blinken and the Biden administration treats its friends, its dearest ally in the Middle East. All right, before we move on, I want to get to this guy. Mossab Youssef, he's the son of a Hamas commander. He looks like, you see him, you hear where he's from, you say, oh, I don't know what side he's on. You don't know. We'll get to Youssef and the fools, the clowns that he schools in this video. And we got to get to the great grandma that the Biden Department of Justice is trying to put in prison. Hell, they're about to put in prison for a year. They're about to fine this woman, $200,000 for walking into the Capitol for 10 minutes and praying. We'll get to hear. We'll hear from the great grandma and tell you the latest on her case. And big game tonight. We got to figure out who we're betting on here, Ryan Ed. Caitlin Clark versus Paige Beckers, UConn versus Iowa. I'm excited. I'm excited to watch girls basketball tonight. We'll get to that and lots more, but first.
Excuse me.
History, economics, the great works of literature, the meaning of the U.S. Constitution. Did you study these things in school? Maybe not. And if you did, like me, you probably didn't pay attention and you wish you did. That's why I'm so excited that Hillsdale College is offering more than 40 free online courses in the most important and enduring subject. You can learn about the works of C.S. Lewis, the stories in the Book of Genesis, the meaning of the U.S. Constitution, the rise and fall of the Roman Republic, or the history of the ancient Christian church with Hillsdale College's online courses, all available for free. You heard me right. That's free. I personally recommend you sign up for Constitution 101, the meaning and history of the U.S. Constitution. In this 12-lecture course, you'll explore the design and purpose of the Constitution, the challenges it faced during the Civil War, and how it has been undermined for more than a century by progressivism and liberalism. Wow, talk about a relevant course. Go right now to hillsdale.edu/Jerry to enroll. There's no cost and it's easy to get started. That's hillsdale.edu/Jerry to register. All right, his name is Mossab Youssef. He's the son of a Hamas commander. And this is where we are today. He appeared on Dr. Phil. Dr. Phil, boy, he must have a damn good booker, good producer, good get. And he's there with a bunch of Hamas supporters. Is there anything more just laughable? Is there any bigger clown than liberals who march and say, like, queers for Palestine, gays for Palestine, or feminists supporting Palestine? People who wouldn't last 10 minutes in Gaza are supporting the Hamas terrorists who throw, you know, gays off buildings and don't allow women to look them in the eye. But let's listen to him explain. It's a little long. It's 2 minutes, but it's worth your time. If you're watching with us, look at the expressions on the faces of the morons who blindly condemn Israel and support Hamas. Listen to him. Listen to this guy educate them. Go ahead.
It does not end there. Now we have the problem with the pro-Palestine who are actually given Hamas cover. They are participants in the crime. In fact, since October 7, I personally don't differentiate between Hamas and what's so-called Palestinians. Because actually there is no Palestinians. There are tribes. There is a tribe of Hamas, and there is a tribe of the Islamic Jihad, and there is a tribe of Khalil, and there is a tribe of Nablus. And each one has different interests, and all of them are conflicted. If they did not have Israel as the common enemy, they would kill each other. This is the reality of what's so-called Palestine. You don't know what Palestine is. Actually, in fact, the keffiyeh that you are wearing, this is just a statement to show that you really lack the authenticity to represent the case. And what's so-called the cause, you know, this is a human problem.
So you just...
The cause must die. I think enough is enough. And now it's proven, and you are helping Hamas to prove it to the world that Palestine depends on the destruction of the state of Israel. And this is not acceptable, and we are not going to agree to it. And I tell you something, for the next 10 or 20 years, the Palestinian people will pay the bill that Hamas is caused today. And most likely in blood.
To you, Hamas and Palestinians are the same. They're one and the same.
After October 7, yes, there is no difference.
Really?
The vast majority of the Palestinian people support Hamas.
Really?
This is a fact. This is proven by statistics and your silence now. You cannot even condemn Hamas and say that what they did on October 7 was an act of a savage group. You don't have that power.
Said I condemn.
On what authority
question.
Do you speak? You only speak on the authority of Hamas propaganda.
No, why do you say that I'm speaking on the authority of Hamas propaganda?
Because you were a decent human being, you can say that the thousands were killed on October 7. That was a crime against humanity. It was a genocide.
Yeah. That's so good. If you're not watching, she's got the headscarf and everything. She's probably some just dumb college student. Following the crowd. That's what we're talking about. Every day, these protests, these are the same people who marched for George Floyd after George Floyd overdosed in police custody, the same people who marched for climate change and lay down in traffic, they've now, these are people with empty souls, with emptiness inside them, looking for purpose, looking for a cause. They don't care about October 7th. They don't care that Americans are held hostage. They got a cause. They're the righteous ones. They want to go out and yell and scream. They don't want to read up. The woman looks shocked when he says the vast majority of Palestinians support Hamas. Of course they do. Every poll shows it. It's insane. At least 75% of Palestinians support what happened on October 7th, even after all the destruction in their homeland. It's remarkable. Now, none of these people care. They don't care. The number we believe now is 8 Americans held hostage. When has Joe Biden even said that? When's even, I mean, the idea of saying their names, that would never happen. Just acknowledging them, saying we got to get them home. It's 6 months Sunday. Sunday marks 6 months since the attack. And there'll be protests, there'll be marches. There always is every weekend, you know, free Palestine. And none of them will mention the hostages. None of them will condemn Hamas. That's how you know they're frauds. You could say civilians are dying, stop the war. But you have to acknowledge it's Hamas's fault. You have to acknowledge that these subhuman savages are still holding babies hostage. You will never hear any of these people, Biden, Blinken, Ayanna Pressley, AOC, none of them mention innocent children being held in horrible conditions, being tortured in Gaza. They don't matter. The only thing that matters is protecting and saving Hamas, which is what Joe Biden is doing to placate voters in Michigan. That I can't remember a more cynical political move, political strategy. Let's abandon Americans abroad. Let's abandon our closest ally and hope that we can get back those people who voted uncommitted, those people who swear they're not going to vote for Joe Biden. Let's see if we can get them back. It's worth it. Let's sacrifice American hostages and hope we can get the kook fringe in Michigan and Wisconsin and Minnesota. Hope we can get them back in the fold. All right, before we move on, we just have to mention today, or should say yesterday, you know what the Biden administration did? They sent Kirby out there because KJP is incapable of articulating the positions of this lawless regime. They abandoned Taiwan. Hey, they said, nope, Taiwan, it's not a separate country. We don't care about Taiwan. They said Ukraine will be joining NATO in the middle of a war. They said Ukraine will be joining NATO. The thought of Ukraine joining NATO was largely the motivation for the invasion, which is why Putin invaded. And we're saying, yeah, we're going to get them in NATO, meaning we will be required under Article 5 to join the fight. They said this. Even if you said it behind closed doors or think it, you announce it to the world. It's just insane. We have 6 months, 7 months from today. This has to end. We can't allow this. We can't allow this pathetic, gutless squish, Anthony Blinken, to be leading our efforts abroad. Is this Blinken saying Ukraine will be in NATO?
Yes.
Listen to him. Just watch him. Watch his body language and listen to his words. Have we ever had a weaker emissary representing this country, this great power? I mean, this guy, he looks like he should be teaching some, sociology course at Middlebury, and he's our face around the globe. It's really embarrassing. Go ahead, play it.
Ukraine, the determination of every country represented here at NATO remains rock solid. We will do everything that we can. Allies will do everything that they can to ensure that Ukraine has what it needs to continue to deal with Russia's ongoing aggression against Ukraine, an aggression that gets worse with every passing day. Ukraine will become a member of NATO. Our purpose at the summit is to help build a bridge to that membership and to create a clear pathway for Ukraine moving forward.
But of course, we believe that Ukraine deserves to be a member of NATO and that this should happen sooner rather than later.
All right, quick question. How does this help the U.S.?
It doesn't.
How does this help the American people? This administration never asked that question. How does this help us? I mean, he's supposed to be looking out for the American interests, and he just vowed to get Ukraine in NATO, meaning we have to fight Russia. This is a big step toward World War III. We have 7 months, and then I guess two more, or a month and a half after that, after we remove this regime from power. We have to hold on. We have to hold on to get these people, these lunatics, these far left extremists out of power, or we're going to be in a really big war. Just amazing. They say it so cavalierly. Yeah, we're not, we got to get Ukraine involved here because then we can fight. Then we can put boots on the ground. I feel bad for anybody serving today or anyone's son or daughter serving today. They don't matter to this administration. Ukraine matters more than your sons and daughters. It's just sickening. But hey, it's just one of the things this absolutely lawless authoritarian crowd is doing. Let's get to the great grandma, a 71-year-old woman from Colorado. Her name is Rebecca Lorenz. Rebecca, little Rebecca. She runs a bed and breakfast in Colorado, in rural Colorado. On January 6th, she decided to take a ride to D.C., 25-hour drive by herself to D.C. When she arrived, like everyone else, she wandered around. She joined a prayer group outside the Capitol and prayed. She's a very religious woman. Then she walked inside the Capitol and looked around for 10 minutes. The government, the FBI, admits she did no vandalism. She broke nothing, assaulted nobody. They let her in the Capitol. She didn't break in and kick in a window or door. She wandered in by herself and prayed. Then she wandered out. 3 years later, knock at the door. FBI. The first time they went to her house, she told them she's busy making a birthday cake for her son. Could they come back later? This is the most bizarre twist. The FBI said, sure, we'll come back. They came back days later and arrested her. This is the Biden Department of Justice in action. While crime is rampant in the streets, while kids are being murdered every day in Chicago, in LA, in Baltimore, the FBI is busy. While terrorists are streaming across the southern border and gang members and rapists, while people, innocent people like Ruby Garcia and Lake and Riley are being murdered by people who don't belong here, the FBI is busy rounding up dangerous insurrectionists like Rebecca Lorenz. She was tried on 4 misdemeanor counts. She had some hope. The jury deliberated over, I think it was 3 days, for 25 hours. That normally doesn't happen. There have been hundreds and hundreds, maybe 1,000 January 6th defendants tried in D.C. courts. You know how many have been acquitted? Zero. Zero. Generally, it takes like 5 minutes because they know D.C. juries hate Trump supporters. So they deliberated for 25 hours. She had some hope. Well, that hope was dashed yesterday afternoon. This is from the Post Millennial. On Thursday afternoon, a Colorado grandmother who briefly entered the Capitol on January 6th after praying on the grounds for an hour was found guilty on 4 misdemeanor charges. The Post Millennial reported she'd been found guilty by a D.C. jury. She could be sentenced. This is what the prosecution is asking for, and they generally get what they want. They're asking for a year in prison and a $200,000 fine for a great-grandmother who walked in the building for 10 minutes. 10 minutes. She didn't break in. She was allowed in. We've seen the video a million times. They opened the doors and they ushered them in, and then she walked out by herself. She's now facing a year in prison and a $200,000 fine. Let's watch as she's heading to court, as she's about to be convicted, and she's talking to someone on her cell phone. Let's watch this dangerous insurrectionist. Go ahead.
My own country is treating me like a criminal. It's because I believe that they stole my rightful president. And just standing up for my country, it makes me a criminal. And it's just not right. It feels so weird to be here. Over three years ago, I was here.
Okay, what happened to Rebecca?
That was the whole video.
Well, it goes on longer than that, but she's weeping and telling someone she's about to be, you know, convicted. Although she had some hope, she was convicted. And now you're going to hear for the next 7 months, Joe Biden saying, you know, these people all belong in prison. And you're going to hear the media obviously echoing that, saying these insurrectionists and rioters and anti-American people belong in prison. Keep that in mind. This is what Joe Biden and Merrick Garland want. They want this woman, this great-grandmother, in prison for a year. They want to break her, bankrupt her. These people are disgusting. We have Karl Rove. I hate this man. Karl Rove, one of the architects of the Iraq War, which, what did I say? How many civilians? 110,000. That's low. At least 110,000 civilians killed, 4,000 American troops, thousands maimed, blown up, legs blown off, blinded American troops for nothing, for a big mistake, a lie. Some of the liars who said Saddam Hussein had weapons of mass destruction. This is, I believe he's on a panel on MSNBC. He's on a panel with Adam Kinzinger, that liar who thinks that this grandma belongs in prison. Listen to him talk about, keep this in mind. We know there's been like 1,100 people charged for January 6th. 100 or so were violent. 100 or so actually committed vandalism or assaulted cops. This woman didn't. Most of them didn't. Most of them who have done prison time or will do prison time were nonviolent. We're like this woman. We're praying. We're looking around. We're talking and just parading in the Capitol.
I was going to say, most of them didn't go past those barrier ropes even.
This fat load, yeah, they stayed with these dangerous insurrectionists who, by the way, they weren't armed. They were going to overthrow. This woman was going to overthrow the government, according to this load, this disgusting fat toad. Listen to him talk about Rebecca Lorenz. Go ahead, play it.
If they were smart, they'd take the January 6th and go hard at it. And they would say, he wants to pardon these people who attacked our Capitol. I worked in that building as a young man. To me, the Congress of the United States is one of the great examples of the strength of our democracy and a jewel of the Constitution. And what those people did when they violently attacked the Capitol in order to stop a constitutionally mandated meeting of the Congress to accept the results of the Electoral College is a stain on our history. And every one of those sons of who did that, we ought to find them, try them, and send them to jail. And one of the critical mistakes made in this campaign is that Donald Trump has now said, I'm going to pardon those people because they're hostages. No, they're not. They're thugs. There were people, some of them had...
They're thugs. They're thugs. We just showed you, Rebecca. She a thug? I don't know. Did she...
I think she's
lie about...
B- beating people up on the subway.
Mass destruction. Did she send 4,000 American troops to their death in Iraq? I don't think so. She walked in and said a prayer, and this piece of garbage wants her in prison for a year. It's so good to have compassion and empathy back in the White House. This is what Merrick Garland and Joe Biden want. They want her in prison for the crime of not supporting him, of believing that there were that there was some election fraud in 2020. That crime gets you a year in prison. Just I can't even look at this guy. Trump calls them hostages. Some of them are. Let's distinguish. Some of them are. There's a lot of January 6th defendants. Some are guilty. Some aren't. Some belong in prison. Some don't. Rebecca Lorenz does not belong in prison. If you can't distinguish between the two, between some violent guy that assaulted a cop and her, you know what you are? You're a liar. You're a liar. You're lying for political purposes. You're lying to help the Biden campaign. This guy hates Trump. I understand that, Rove. But he's lying. She's not a thug. She's not an insurrectionist. She wasn't there to overthrow the government. But Joe Biden and Merrick Garland don't care. All right. We got breaking news out of New York. We got to get to this. This is insane. And of course, as we, you know, as we all love women's basketball, it's our favorite sport. We got to do our preview of the big game tonight, 9:30. I'm excited to watch girls hoop. But first,
but I'm going to go to bed.
If you're anything like me, you have a certain tendency to put things off until the very last minute. You know, when I get my car inspected, for some reason, I always wait till the last minute, the last day. When I pay Ironhead, I always wait till the last minute. And while most of the time it works out, the one thing in life you really cannot afford to wait on is setting up term coverage life insurance. You've probably seen life insurance commercials on TV and thought, yeah, well, I'll look into that later. No, this isn't something you can wait on. Choose life insurance through Ladder today. Ladder is 100% digital, no doctors, no needles, no paperwork. When you apply for $3 million in coverage or less, just answer a few questions about your health in an application. Since life insurance costs more as you age, now is the time to cross it off your list. You just need a few minutes and a phone or a laptop to apply. Ladder's smart algorithms work in real time, so you'll find out if you're approved instantly. No hidden fees, cancel anytime, get a full refund if you change your mind in the first 30 days. So go to ladderlife.com/Jerry today to see if you're instantly approved. That's ladderlife.com/Jerry, G-E-R-R-Y, ladderlife.com/Jerry. This is wild. This is wild. Dateline, New York. This is from WABC in New York. Residents across the tri-state area reported feeling shaking as an earthquake rocked the New York region today, Friday morning. The U.S. Geological Survey confirmed a magnitude 4.8 earthquake occurred near White House Station in New Jersey. New York City sustained no major impact, although it was widely felt around the city. Just what we need. An earthquake. Like, New York doesn't have enough problems. There's an earthquake in New York. Do we feel it up here in New England?
I'm feeling it. Western Mass, you can feel it out there, I'm hearing.
Really? Wild. Yeah. Wild. An earthquake. I don't know. Does this feel like the end of days?
Sometimes.
Is this it? An earthquake, and we'll see if we get any updates, any injuries, any major destruction. So far, we just know a 4.8. I don't think it was quite as bad as the one in Taiwan the other day, but who cares about Taiwan? John Kirby made that clear. Anthony Blinken made that clear. Taiwan, you're on your own. We don't care. We're here to placate the Chinese Communist Party. That's what one thing we know about the Biden administration. Is they're not going to cross the Chinese Communist Party. Man, we have so much here on this Friday, but I want to get to, oh, man, I keep looking at this public defender in Seattle. God, throw him up on the screen. This is a lawyer in Seattle, Stephanie Mueller, 70 years old. Here's what Trump should do. We know every lawyer Trump hires gets arrested, gets disbarred, We know they get thrown in prison. We know they get shackled, leg irons for, you know, advising, representing the president. He can't even find lawyers now because they know that the swamp will come after them. The DOJ will come after them. He should hire Stephanie Mueller, who is defending Antifa scum out there in Seattle.
giant fella, too.
Yeah, you remember the teacher in Canada with the extremely large pretend breasts? Well,
how can we forget?
Stephanie Mueller is giving the teacher a little run for his money. This is a big man and a striking looking man. There he is. There he is in court. He's actually in court. How do you look? How do you laugh when this man comes in?
And foot and a half taller than the other lady.
He's a big, big man. Yeah. And he's defending some violent criminals in Seattle. It's Seattle, so he'll probably win the case, win all the cases. But
oh, my God, the nipples. Look at those freaking things.
That's actually his flesh and blood. Those are not real, but they're... Can you play him talking? Because, you know, he's not fooling anybody when he starts to speak.
Oh, you don't think so?
Play Stephanie.
I just met her. She's really nice. She's really smart. She sounds like she's got the right idea about things. I really support what she's up to, and I think it's fabulous. How about that?
God, she's accused of, what is it, criminal trespass?
In the first degree.
Is she innocent or guilty?
She's innocent, of course.
She's innocent, okay. Well, she's caught on video being arrested and protesting and allegedly protesting. Uh-huh. So I'm trying to get all sides. So
my client has pled not guilty. My name is Stephanie Mueller. I'm in the directory for the Washington State Bar Association. You could look me up.
Okay. So Stephanie, thank you for your time.
Look up Stephanie.
Your client is being...
Look at me.
I bet Seattle. Stephanie's going to win the case. Probably wins all his cases. But let's get to Caitlin Clark. I'm fired up tonight to watch Girls Soup. Caitlin Clark and I was favored by 3. This is not, maybe he's not going to get 12 million because it's a Friday night and because there's no Angel Reese, but there is a Paige Beckers. If you're Jemele Hill or you're Gilbert Arenas, who doesn't like white players at all, any white player, what do you do tonight? You have 2 great, great white players. You just sit there and count and say how many black kids are on, black women are on this team, how many on that team. Is that how you do it? UConn has more black girls, so let's root for UConn. Very confusing time. But her audience, the audience is going to be huge. And hopefully she pulls this one out and plays Sunday against South Carolina. That will top 12 million. I can't believe I'm even saying this. Huh. But I'm going to sit here tonight on my TV and watch every minute of this game. This is just an extremely compelling, entertaining player and a couple of players, but Caitlin Clark's the best I've ever seen. I'm rooting for her. I'm rooting against Jemele Hill and against Gilbert Arenas and everybody else who doesn't think, you know, this white girl should be stealing their game. It's just amazing where we are in this country. You have a great, great player. And she handles herself beautifully off the court. LeBron James talked about how great it is to watch her. And she just said how cool that is to have LeBron James watching women's basketball. And she's not saying anything really provocative, but she is going to command the attention of, I don't know, let's make predictions. If she wins tonight, play Sunday, I'm going to say 16, 18 million, more than any NBA game, more than any World Series game, more than any game of football. That's how big this is. More than the Masters, which I'll be watching next week. But
can't wait.
If she has another game like she did the other day, 41 points, 12 boards, just controlling the whole game, I think Caitlin Clark mania is going so far off the charts that Sunday is going to break all the records. And if she wins that one, man, get ready. She is going to be so marketable. She's going to be the most marketable female athlete. And it's going to annoy all the race hustlers, all the race baiters out there on ESPN and FS1 and everywhere else. So go, Caitlin Clark. And before we go, we gotta root for one other young up-and-comer. His name is Bill Carter. You tell me he's known as Billy Football?
That's Billy Football from Barstool Sports, yeah.
Billy Football from Barstool Sports. He's running for Congress in the district on Long Island, the district which the Republicans pissed away when they kicked George Santos out of Congress. By the way, you know what one of George Santos's crimes was? He claimed he played college volleyball. We played the sound. He talked about it with Sid Rosenberg. He said he remembered playing college volleyball. He went into detail. It was wild. He didn't. He made that all up. He's not. I mean, Bob Menendez is still in the Senate, a guy who's taking bribes from foreign countries, hiding gold bars and cash. He's still in the Senate. The guy who claimed he played college volleyball is out and replaced by a Democrat because the Republicans are stupid. Well, Bill Carter, Billy Football, is trying to reclaim the seat for the GOP. We wish him luck, but he's 25 years old. He's been all making the rounds. He was on Newsmax. He was on Fox. And I'll be rooting for him, of course. But I don't know, 25 years old, and he made one mistake already. He didn't embrace Trump. And I realize you're not allowed to do that at Barstool. A bunch of Barstool employees revolted when their boss, Dave Portnoy, went to the White House at the invitation of Donald Trump, sat down with Trump for an interview. Mm-hmm. That upset the whole company, that the head of the company spoke to the president of the United States. That tells you a lot about Dave Portnoy's employees. But he was wishy-washy on Trump. Just said, yeah, he wants everybody's support. Bad move, Billy. You can't do that. You can't say the nominee for president. I'm up in the air on him. You have to. At this point, you have no choice. Someone has to tell him. Someone's got to tell Billy Football. He's got to go all in on Trump if he hopes to raise money and get support of the Republicans at large. It might not win anyway, but you can't turn your back on the nominee for president. You got no choice. But good luck to Billy Football. What does he do? He does podcasts, I assume, or blogs?
Yeah, he started on Pardon My Take, Big Cat's podcast, and then
and he just comes on and talks football.
Yeah, and does dumb stuff. Popular? Yeah, he's pretty popular.
He's got like 300,000 followers. I hope he knows what he's doing. I hope he knows how to raise money. Sounds like he's willing to make the rounds and get out there and campaign. It's going to be tough. It's a purple district, but it's going to be tough. Right now, thanks to the GOP, the incumbent, this Swazi guy, is a Democrat. He's a Democrat who lied to the voters and said, yeah, he's against illegal immigration and he's against crime, but he'll support Biden 100% of the time. You can be sure of that. So go for it, Billy Football. We'll be rooting for you, and we'll be rooting for Caitlin Clark, and we'll be hoping the president, or at least somebody, remembers Sunday, the six-month anniversary of the invasion of Israel. We'll be hoping people remember their hostages. They don't even mention it. It's just an amazing thing. We've seen hostages before in Iran, in 1979. I don't remember people just forgetting about them, just ignoring the fact that Americans are being held. But in this case, it doesn't help Joe Biden get votes in Michigan. So the hell with these 8 Americans and 100 and something innocent people, including little babies, are being held by Hamas. And every step Biden's taking is to help to placate Hamas. It's just disgusting what's happening in this country today. But that will do it for today. Got big plans this weekend, Ironhead? You watching girls basketball like I am?
I'm going to watch girls basketball. I'm going to get nuts. I'm going to have some fantasies.
You're going to put a bet down? I bet this will be the most, well, maybe Sunday will top it, or maybe Monday against LSU will top it. But there's never been a game sporting event with more action on, a girls sporting event with more action on it You know what will top this? This is the most watched women's basketball game ever. If, and this is, I shouldn't say if, when there's a guy playing in the tournament, when there's some, you know, 6'10" guy with a beard who says he's a girl. When he's in the tournament, people will watch and be rooting, and there'll be great interest. That's coming. That day is coming, as we've chronicled many, many times.
Just taking that, charges.
Yeah, he's just elbowing and throwing girls to the ground.
Yeah.
You know, everybody on ESPN saying she scored 72 points and got 54 boards, and she will be the, you know, woman of the year.
Yeah, she had to come out of the game for 2 minutes because she took a knee to her testicles and needed a breather.
Knee to her nuts. That's coming. Yeah. It's inevitable, and we'll be here for it. That'll be fun. But we're pretty sure Caitlin's all women. Oh, and she is amazing. So we'll be watching, but that'll do it. Thanks for listening. Thank you, Ironhead. Have a great weekend. I'm Jerry Callahan. This is The Callahan Show, and we'll do it again Monday morning.
Thanks for listening to today's podcast. You can help by clicking the sponsor links in the show notes and take advantage of some great discounts available only to our listeners.